Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 948. Walking the Snake with Breitbart, subtitled The Gathering Sturm. That's S-T-U-R-N. This is being recorded on March 2nd of the year 2017. The title of the program is a reference both to the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk that I have referenced so often, and also, of course, to Breitbart, the alt-right. That's the euphemism, right? Not the Nazi, not the fascist, the alt-right media outlet that was presided over by Stephen Bannon and which has yielded up some prominent alumni to the Trump administration, including Stephen Bannon. We're going to be taking a look at the Mercers and some truly alarming, it's so much more than alarming, some overwhelmingly evil and frankly terrifying developments in which at the core of what is driving not only American but global fascism forward is the manipulation of vast amounts of data that are being accumulated by the tech firms and related entities, and their manipulation by Nazified artificial intelligence. Yeah, that's what I said. Their manipulation by Nazified artificial intelligence in order to manifest a Nazi, an alt-right perspective dominating social media, dominating Google search engines, dominating YouTube, and keeping vast numbers of bots available and ready to spring into action in the event of the systemic shock, unquote, that Stephen Bannon and others feel our declining civilization needs, or perhaps the blowing up, unquote, of our contemporary civilization that people like Julius Evola, the SS-linked philosopher who is an influence on Stephen Bannon, feel needed to be done with our civilization. When that time comes, and it is coming, it is going to be very interesting indeed. I was hoping to continue with some ruminations concerning the order that we talked about in connection with some of Kevin Coogan's thoughts in connection with Julius Evola, Francis Parker Yockey, and the Post-War Fascist International, in particular regarding some of the, quote, alt-right, unquote, read Nazi and fascist, antecedents of the Occupy movement, and also Bernie Sanders' campaign, things that I suspect were manipulated, perhaps even christened by the order, in order to manipulate the American industrial and financial elite in such a way as to have them sign on to an explicitly fascist agenda. In Miscellaneous Archive Show M11, Uncle Sam and the Swastika, U.S. Industrial Cooperation with Nazi Germany, recapped in For the Record 511. I concluded with discussion of from James Stewart Martin's All Honorable Men about the concentration of economic power in this country that Martin saw even in 1950 as very possibly leading to the same thing it did in Germany, i.e. fascism. And that this concentration of economic power that would lead to fascism would be implemented by businessmen. He talked about how within the economic and financial elite, there was already enough concentration of economic power in 1950 to do such a thing. if they could come to agreement among themselves. I believe that has happened, and I believe that some of the orders manipulation of the Occupy movement through people like Kalle Lassen, an ethnic Estonian, whose parents fled to Nazi Germany at the end of World War II. They then decamped to Australia, and the evidence with Lassen suggests that he is part of, he is affiliated with the order and implementing something of a third position political ideological stance. It was with his Adbusters magazine that the Occupy Wall Street had its origins. And when one looks at Bernie Sanders, who has achieved publicity for being a socialist, he's actually a Trotskyite socialist. He was a presidential elector for the Socialist Workers' Party in 1980. That is a Trotskyite political party that was so infiltrated by Nazis and spooks, including Lee Harvey Oswald, that wanted to give themselves a left-slash-communist cover, that if one attended a meeting of the Socialist Workers' Party and threw a rock in the air, the odds are 9 out of 10 would have landed either on a Nazi, a spook, or both. When Lee Harvey Oswald's face was grafted on to the body of someone holding the rifle Oswald supposedly used to kill Kennedy and the revolver he supposedly used to kill Officer Tippit, the person, whoever it was holding a copy of The Militant, that is the newspaper of the Socialist Workers' Party. The Nazis had long seen Trotskyites as a useful vehicle for infiltrating things, and when one finds elements like Karl Rove financing Bernie Sanders' campaign, which he did, and when one sees people like Tulsi Gabbard associated with the Hare Krishna and some Hindu nationalist slash fascist elements like the RSS, then after meeting with Donald Trump and possibly Stephen Bannon, who regarded her with favor, she goes over to Syria courtesy of elements associated with the Syrian Social National Party. Almost a seamless handoff from what would appear to be one element of what Coogan conceptualized as the order to another. And I should not be misunderstood as speaking for Kevin Coogan in this regard. However, I have used his concept and am applying it to my own views of the political landscape. I suspect that when the industrial and financial elite looked out and saw the Occupy movement and Bernie Sanders, they saw communism, socialism, the commies are going to take our stuff. And they said, well, we better get behind somebody that they might not otherwise have coalesced around, namely Donald Trump. I think they would have preferred someone like Mike Pence, and I think ultimately Trump may get eased out. But the point is that the agreement that James Stewart Martin ruminated about in 1950 has, in fact, been reached, I believe, and I think that the order's skillful manipulation of left and right elements has helped to lead to that. But we don't have time to really go into that beyond what I have already discussed. Things are moving so quickly and in so devastating a way that I think I'm going to have to go through as much as I can today. And this broadcast, like so many others, really is going to rely on listeners to go to the SpitfireList.com website and look at the description for the record 948 when it is published in a couple of days, because due to the limitations of time, I can only discuss so much in 1 hour. Certainly, some of the discussions of the high-tech fascism and Nazism, excuse me, alt-right manifestations will necessarily have to be talked about in the next program. The implications could not be more dire. Now, Serpent's Walk again refers to the Nazi tract, The Serpent's Walk, published by National Vanguard Books, the publishing arm of the National Alliance, the Nazi group for which Glenn Greenwald ran legal interference when he was an attorney. The National Alliance and National Vanguard Books published the Turner Diaries. They also published Serpent's Walk, in which the SS go underground at the end of World War II, which we know they did, begin building up their economic muscle, which we know they did, in the form of the remarkable and deadly Bormann Flight Capital Network, and they buy into the opinion-forming media, and after a series of terrorist incidents using weapons of mass destruction, martial law is declared, and those elements which have infiltrated the military take over the U.S., which then becomes Nazified. If some of my prognostications over the decades, plural, seemed a little bit extreme or over the top, well, note the following. This is from the New York Times of February 27th of 2017. The column is by Paul Krugman of the New York Times, a very staid mainstream source, if ever there was one. The uses of outrage. And Krugman begins his column of last Monday. Are you angry about the white nationalist takeover of the U.S. government? Again, this is Paul Krugman. This isn't Dave Emery talking here. Are you angry about the white nationalist takeover of the U.S. government? Skipping down. Does anyone doubt it? And given this reality, it's completely reasonable to worry that America will go the route of other nations like Hungary, which remain democracies on paper but have become authoritarian states in practice. One of the people, and this will be something of a jumping off point to the discussion of Breitbart and Serpent's Walk. In Serpent's Walk, the underground Reich and the SS buy into the opinion-forming media, use it to structure the American people in a way that suits their ascendant. Their ascendancy, I should say, and they specifically use it to manipulate, quote, white Americans, unquote, who have begun to have their fill of government-enforced equality and multiculturalism. And take a look at what is going on now. Speaking of Breitbart, in addition to Stephen K. Bannon, another alumnus of Breitbart, one Sebastian Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, has jumped from Breitbart to the Trump administration, and he is serving as the point man in the Trump administration's counter-jihadist strategy. I would note that, like Stephen K. Bannon, Sebastian Gorka sees the U.S. and the West in a historic clash of civilizations against Islam. Again, not Islamic fascism of the Muslim Brotherhood-inspired variety, but Islam as a religion-slash-blanket philosophy. That is precisely, with a capital P, what ISIS is maintaining and what the Muslim Brotherhood, in a much more subtle way, has been maintaining, which is that really the only solution for Muslims is to hook up with them. The Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood is an Islamic fascist organization allied with the Axis in World War II. It manifests corporatist economics. Its primary economic touchstone is a 14th century philosopher named Ibn Khaldun, who the World Bank views as the first advocate of privatization, unquote, which should give you a clue as to why the Brotherhood is so well seen by the world's financial institutions. The CIA then used the Brotherhood during the Cold War and up to the present as proxy warriors and anti-communist cadre. The Brotherhood is the parent organization of Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and also ISIS. Again, portraying the U.S. as in a historic war against Islam is just what ISIS wants, and it will work to their advantage in recruiting people to their cause. That, in turn, will work against the U.S., but in favor of helping to bring down the country by involving it in interminable wars on the periphery of the empire, rather like Rome. Reference for the record, 944.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
Now, about Gorka. Note that Krugman, after saying, "Are you angry about the white nationalist takeover of the U.S. government? Does anyone doubt it?" Skipping down. "And given this reality, it's completely reasonable to worry that America will go the route of other nations like Hungary, which remain democracies on paper but have become authoritarian states in practice." And then this article from the Times of February 24th, "The Islamophobic Huckster in the White House" by Stephen Simon and Daniel Benjamin, reading in part, "The new point man for the Trump administration's counter-jihadist team is Sebastian Gorka, an itinerant instructor in the doctrine of irregular warfare and former national security editor at Breitbart. Stephen K. Bannon and Stephen Miller, the chief commissars of the Trump White House, have framed Islam as an enemy ideology and predicted an historic clash of civilizations. Mr. Gorka, who has been appointed deputy assistant to the president, is the expert they have empowered to translate their prediction into national strategy. Mr. Gorka was born and raised in Britain, the son of Hungarian emigre. As a political consultant in post-communist Hungary, he acquired a doctorate and involved himself with ultra-nationalist politics." Okay, I love ultra-nationalist. Why not alt-right? Can't say the F-word, can we, folks? Newspeak is here and taking hold big time. We talked about Gorka in For the Record 947. His heritage is one of Hungarian fascism, in addition, of course, to Nazi Germany and Japan and Italy. The Axis also involved elements of the Baltic states and other Eastern European countries, such as much of Czechoslovakia, both Muslim Bosnia under the Grand Mufti, and also Croatia, and more importantly, perhaps, Romania, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Slovakia. The Baltic states were fascist before and after having been occupied by the former Soviet Union. Note here, and we will see this down the line, note how Gorka has basically assumed the political mantle worn by his grandfather. One of the things that is so skillful about the Underground Reich is that they have successfully perpetuated themselves through the generations. Kalle Lassen of Adbusters and a generator of Occupy Wall Street, again, an ethnic Estonian whose parents fled to Nazi Germany at the end of World War II. Sebastian Gorka, in his association with the Hungarian fascist milieu of Jobbik, is following in the footsteps of, among others, Laszlo László Pásztor, P-A-S-Z-T-O-R. He was the liaison between the Hungarian Arrow Cross and Adolf Hitler, then became the head of the Republican Ethnic Heritage Outreach Council. That was literally is a fascist slash Nazi, I mean alt-right branch of the Republican Party that grew out of the Crusade for Freedom. He then became the point element for the Free Congress Foundation's projection of those same Nazi and Eastern European elements, again, Hungarian Arrow Cross, Romanian Iron Guard, Bulgarian National Front, Croatian Ustashi, Slovakian Linka Party, the Sojudis elements from Lithuania and others back into Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. And they have maintained the fascist slash Nazi heritage. From Forward of February 24th of 2017, an article by Lili Eli Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, exclusive, senior Trump aide forged key ties to anti-Semitic groups in Hungary. This about Sebastian Gorka. Again, a Breitbart alumnus and the point man for the Trump administration's anti-jihadist campaign. It reads in part, when photographs recently emerged showing Sebastian Gorka, President Donald Trump's high-profile deputy assistant, wearing a medal associated with the Nazi collaborationist regime that ruled Hungary during World War II, the controversial security strategist was unapologetic. Skipping down. But an investigation by the Forward into Gorka's activities from 2002 to 2007, while he was active in Hungarian politics and journalism, found that he had close ties then to Hungarian far-right circles and has in the past chosen to work with openly racist and anti-Semitic groups and public figures. Gorka's involvement with the far right includes co-founding a political party with former prominent members of Jobbik, a political party with a well-known history of anti-Semitism, repeatedly publishing articles in the newspaper known for its anti-Semitic and racist content, and attending events with some of Hungary's most notorious extreme right figures. Skipping down. In the U.S., Gorka, who was appointed deputy assistant to the president on January 20th, is known as a television commentator, a professor, and an alt-right, unquote, writer who describes himself as a counterterrorism expert. A close associate of Stephen Bannon, Trump's chief strategist, Gorka is now part of Bannon's key in-house White House think tank, the Strategic Initiatives Group. The newly formed group consists of figures close to Trump and is seen by some as a rival to the National Security Council in formulating policies for the president. And it talks about this article, which is in its almost in its entirety, the details about Trump, Sebastian Gorka, networking with Jobbik alumni to form a new political party. And again, Gorka's involvement with the far right includes co-founding a political party with former prominent members of Jobbik, a political party with a well-known history of anti-Semitism, repeatedly publishing articles in the newspaper known for its anti-Semitic and racist content, and attending events with some of Hungary's most notorious extreme right figures. And again, when we are looking at the likes of Sebastian Gorka, the history of Laszlo Pastor, the Republican Ethnic Heritage Outreach Council, and the Crusade for Freedom becomes manifest. And again, the details are altogether, well, chilling and yet not surprising to those familiar with the details. Again, noting the how those Eastern European Galen slash anti-Bolshevik bloc of nations elements of that jumped to the CIA and to the Republican Party, how they have maintained their heritage through generations, just like Sebastian Gorka. We're going to note the following. One last bit about Sebastian Gorka, about the Nazi-linked medal, the Order of the Vitezi Rend that he wore. But the medal was not the first time Gorka expressed admiration for symbols that many associate with Hungary's World War II-era Nazi sympathizers. In 2000, 6. Gorka defended the use of the ARPAB, A-R-P-A-V flag, which Hungary's murderous Arrow Cross party used as their symbol. And again, yet another example of the Eastern European Nazi and underground Reich heritage perpetuating itself and now manifesting on the contemporary political scene. From Consortium News of February 27th of 2017, an article by Arina Tsukanova, A-R-I-N-A-T-S-U-K-O-N-O-V-A, a Nazi skeleton in the family closet. It is about Chrystia Freeland, F-R-E-E-L-A-N-D, who has now been appointed foreign minister by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. She is of Ukrainian emigre heritage and has an interesting family indeed. Skipping down. Chrystia Freeland's dark family secret is that her grandfather, Mikhailo Chomiak, faithfully served Nazi Germany right up to its surrender, and Chomiak's family only moved to Canada after the Third Reich was defeated by the Soviet Union's Red Army and its allies, the U.S. and Great Britain. Mikhailo Chomiak, that's M-I-K-H-A-I-L-O, Chomiak, capital C-H-O-M-I-A-K, was not a victim of the war. He was on the side of the German aggressors who collaborated with Ukrainian nationalists in killing Russians, Jews, Poles, and other minorities. Former journalist Freeland chose to whitewash her family history to leave out her grandfather's service to Adolf Hitler. Of course, if she had told the truth, she might never have achieved a successful political career in Canada. And this is very interesting indeed. It talks about Mikhailo Chomiak. He not only collaborated with the Third Reich, he ran an anti-Semitic newspaper that was published by the Nazis called Krakivsky Vesti, K-R-A-K-I-V-S-K-I. And then V-I-S-T-I. On April 24th, skipping down 1940, Krakivsky Vesti published a full-page panegyric to Adolf Hitler dedicated to his 51st birthday 4 days earlier. Chomiak also hailed Governor General Hans Frank of the Ukraine. The Ukrainian population were overjoyed to see the establishment of fair German authority, the bearer of which is you, Sir Governor General. The Ukrainian people expressed this joy not only through the flowers they threw to the German troops entering the region, but also through the sacrifices of blood required to fight Polish usurpers, unquote. Because of Frank's role in the Holocaust, the Nuremberg Tribunal found him guilty of crimes against humanity and executed him. Beyond extolling Hitler and his henchmen, Chomiak rejoiced over Nazi military victories, including the terror bombings of Great Britain. And he was, Chomiak, that is, of course, very closely associated with the milieu of the OUNB, and that is the milieu that ultimately precipitated the core of the Maidan government in currently holding sway in Ukraine. How did Chomiak get out of Europe? Skipping down and concluding this article, as the war turned against the Nazis and the Red Army advanced across Ukraine and Poland, Nazi propagandist Emil Gassner, G-A-S-S-N-E-R, took Mikhailo Chomiak in 1944 to Vienna, where Krakivsky Vesti continued to publish. As the Third Reich crumbled, Chomiak left with the retreating German army and surrendered to the Americans in Bavaria, where he was placed with his family in a special U.S. military intelligence facility in Bad Wörishen, Wörishoven, W-O-R-I-S-H-O-F-E-N, a cluster of hotels situated 78 kilometers from Munich in the foothills of the Alps. In other words, the milieu of the Galen organization.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
There is something very scary going on. Of course, there has been a lot of publicity about the Trump administration's immigration policy and the rhetoric against, quote, illegal immigrants. What has not received that much publicity is the way in which former General John Kelly, now the head of the Department of Homeland Security, has taken a step toward what, in effect, is martial law. War fighting is a very narrow skill set, and General Kelly appears to have been very successful and skilled at that very narrow skill set. But applying that skill set to civilian life generally doesn't work very well. And Kelly, like a good Marine, is following orders. But whose orders? Donald Trump's. The New York Times, October 21st of 2017, Mr. Trump's deportation force prepares an assault on American values. And what it notes is, among other things, the targets now don't even have to be criminals. They could simply have been accused of a crime that is still presumed, quote, innocent, unquote, or have done something that makes an immigration agent believe that they might possibly face charges. Mr. Kelly included a catch-call provision allowing immigration and customs enforcement officers or border patrol agents or local police officers or sheriff's deputies to take in anyone they think could be, quote, a risk to public safety or national security, unquote. That is a recipe for policing abuses and racial profiling, a possibility that Mr. Kelly will vastly expand if Congress gives him the huge sums required to hire 10,000 ICE officers and 5,000 Border Patrol agents. He wants to surge, unquote. His verb, the hiring of immigration judges and asylum officers, he wants to add processing and detention centers, which surely has the private prison industry salivating at the profits to come. He wants to ramp up programs deputizing state and local law enforcement officers as immigration enforcers. From a constitutional standpoint, this is extremely important. Again, he wants to ramp up programs deputizing state and local law enforcement officers as immigration enforcers. He calls them, quote, a highly successful force multiplier, unquote, which is true if you want a dragnet. It's not true if you want to fight crime effectively and keep communities safe. When every local law enforcement encounter can be a prelude to deportation, unauthorized immigrants will fear and avoid the police. And when state and local officers untrained in immigration law suddenly get to decide who stays and who goes, the risk of injustice is profound. Again, from a constitutional standpoint, it is huge. Now, Stephen Bannon and people like Menchus Moldbug and Julius Avila and some of the other influences upon him and the Trump White House, Menchus Moldbug being the blogging name of a guy named Curtis Yarvin, when the systemic shock that they feel is necessary to straighten out our civilization, our declining civilization, takes place. And I think at some point it will. It may not just be one shock. It may be a series of them. Don't be too surprised if some of the provisions of martial law that remain on the books, courtesy of Oliver North and Company, are put into effect. One of those was the deputization of paramilitary right-wingers and their incorporation as federal deputies. I wonder if Stephen Bannon and Sebastian Gorka and their strategic initiatives group, sort of a parallel to the National Security Council, on which Stephen Bannon sits and of which he is arguably the most important member at this point. I wonder if part of that strategic initiatives group, sort of a parallel NSC, and Bannon's position on the NSC is in part due to the impending deputization of paramilitary right-wingers in the implementation or partial implementation of martial law. A few articles in that regard from Think Progress of February 3rd of 2017. The articles are in the written description for the show, but due to the limitations of time, I'm just going to have to whip through them. Please use the article, the written descriptions for the show. From Think Progress of February 3rd of 2017, Trump is setting us free. White supremacists celebrate reports that Trump will dial down scrutiny, unquote, by Laurel Raymond and Alan Pike. This is absolutely a signal of favor to us. Online neo-Nazi and white supremacist forums have been unmistakably jubilant lately as Web Schaffer moved from celebrating President Donald Trump's electoral victory to celebrating individual cabinet appointments and policy proposals. On Thursday, internet racists celebrated another perceived victory. Reports that President Trump will soon remove white nationalist groups from a federal effort to study and neutralize extremist radicalization and rebrand the program to focus solely on groups associating themselves with Islam. Yes, this is real life. Our memes are all real life. Donald Trump is setting us free. Again, that may be in anticipation of their being used as federal enforcers. Some of the groups that may be included in that, well, from the Southern Poverty Law Center's Hate Watch of February 6th of 2017, League of the South announces formation of Southern Defense Force, unquote. Edging closer to militancy, the neo-Confederate League of the South says it's forming a force to combat the, quote, leftist menace to our historic Christian civilization. Skipping down. Moreover, and this from their manifesto, moreover, we will be ready to assist our local and state authorities in keeping the peace should they find it necessary to deputize private citizens for that purpose. And again, the entire article is in the description for the record 948. The League of the South, a neo-Confederate organization inextricably linked with the Ludwig von Mises Institute, inextricably linked with Ron Paul. Ron Paul's 2012 presidential campaign, in turn, inextricably linked with Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden, inextricably linked with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And Ron Paul also touted in a recent book by none other than Ralph Nader. A grotesque state of affairs. More about the League of the South's paramilitary contingent again, and they are looking forward to being deputized as by governments in the event they should be needed. Keep an eye on this. From Right Wing Watch of November 10th of 2016, League of the South hails Trump wants, quote, no mercy, unquote, towards Jews, minorities, and anti-white whites. As white supremacists and neo-Nazis celebrate the results of the presidential election, Michael Hill, president of the neo-Confederate League of the South, reacted to Donald Trump's victory yesterday by vowing to show, quote, no mercy, unquote, to again, quoting, the enemies of our God are folk and our civilization, unquote, and to finally, quote, drive a stake, unquote, through the heart of the globalist progressive coalition of Jews, minorities, and anti-white whites. Skipping down. Today, Hill warned me of Confederate activists that if, quote, you don't finish the job by routing your enemies and driving them into the sea while you have the chance, they will regroup and be back at your throats in no time. They may get the chance, indeed, if they are deputized under a martial law plan, the realization of the martial law contingency plans, and indeed they will be taken off of the federal watch list. And if the CVE, as that watch list is called, does indeed become focused exclusively on Islam, we will have Sebastian Gorka, his grandfather's little baby, ruling the roost. Sebastian Gorka, again, an alumnus of Breitbart. An interesting article appeared in The Atlantic of March 1st of 2017, staying on the subject of immigration, by Peter Beinart, B-E-I-N-A-R-T, Trump scapegoats unauthorized immigrants for crime. Subtitled, The President's Focus on Crimes Committed by Members of One Particular Group Singles Them Out for Blame. And even though Trump's immigration policies have been criticized by authorities, half the population approves of them, and most Republicans approve of them as well. What this article points out is that in his speech, just concluded, he called for the Department of Homeland Security to create an office focused on the victims of immigrant crime. And in a January 25th executive order, he instructed the Homeland Security Secretary, that is John Kelly, to make public a comprehensive list of criminal actions committed by aliens. And this has an antecedent. And once again, please use the written description for the show. Got to move quick through the limitations of time, skipping down. This has a parallel, again, with Nazi Germany. In The Nazi Conscience, Duke historian Claudia Kunz, K-O-O-N-Z, notes that the Nazi newspaper Der Stürmer ran a feature called Letterbox, which published readers' accounts of Jewish crimes. When the Nazis took over, the German state began doing something similar. Frustrated by the failure of most Germans to participate in a boycott of Jewish businesses in April of 1933, Adolf Hitler's government began publicizing Jewish crime statistics as a way of stoking anti-Semitism. In Nazi Germany and the Jews, the years of persecution, the historian Saul Friedlander notes that until 1938, Hitler's Ministry of Justice ordered prosecutors to forward every criminal indictment against a Jew so the ministry's press office could publicize it. I guess you could say, first, they came for the illegal immigrants. And to get the precedent in terms of law of just basically giving local police authority to act as federal deputies and begin arresting anyone they thought might be suspicious, that, well, it speaks for itself and will do so, I think, much more eloquently in the future. Another interesting article about the, quote, alt-right, unquote, this from the Jewish Telegraph Agency of, I believe it's actually Jewish Telegraphic Agency of February 17th of 2017. This concerns Lithuanian fascists, nationalists, celebrating a Lithuanian Nazi collaborator named Kazys, K-A-Z-Y-S, Škirpa, capital S-K-I-R-P-A. Only they are celebrating him modified as Pepe the Frog, the meme favored by the American fascists, alt-right. From the JTA, again, February 17th of 2017, Lithuanian nationalists celebrate Holocaust-era Quisling and Pepe the Frog near execution site. Lithuanian ultra-nationalists. No, you can't say Nazis are fascists. Can you, Jewish Telegraphic Agency? This is why you're going to wind up dead, because you just can't quite come out and say it. You know, it just, the newspeak here, oh, they're ultra-nationalists. No, you dumb expletive deleted, they're Nazis, and they're going to finish the job on you. Got that, Jewish Telegraphic Agency? One more time. Again, Lithuanian nationalists celebrate Holocaust era quizzling Pepe the Frog near execution site. Lithuanian, got to throw up, ultra-nationalists march near execution sites of Jews with banners celebrating a pro-Nazi collaborationist who called for ethnic cleansing and a symbol popular with members of the U.S. alt-right movement. Again, Lithuanian ultra-nationalists march near execution sites of Jews with banners celebrating a pro-Nazi collaborationist who called for ethnic cleansing and a symbol popular with members of the U.S. alt-right movement. The main banner featured a picture of the collaborationist Kazys, K-A-Z-Y-S, Skirpa, S-K-I-R-P-A, modified to resemble Pepe the Frog, a cartoon figure that was used by hate groups in the U.S. during the 2016 presidential elections. The banner also included a quote attributed to the Pepe-like portrait of Skirpa, an envoy of the pro-Nazi movement in Lithuania to Berlin that read, quote, Lithuania will now contribute to new and better European order.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
In the last 14 minutes or so of this show, I'm going to do the best I can to a spectacular article that appeared in the British Guardian newspaper of February 26th of 2017. We won't have time to really cover all of it. I will resume this article and talk more about it in the next program. Suffice it to say, this article, again, from The Guardian of February 26th of 2017. Robert Mercer, M-E-R-C-E-R, the big data billionaire waging war on mainstream media. This by Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, Cadwallader, C-A-D-W-A-L-L-A-D-R. Subheaded, with links to Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, and Nigel Farage, the right-wing U.S. computer scientist is at the heart of a multi-million dollar propaganda network. And skipping down, Trump had spoken and his audience had heard him. Then I did what I've been doing for 2.5 months now. I Googled mainstream media is, and there it was. Google's autocomplete suggestions, mainstream media is dead, dying, fake news, fake finished. Is it dead, I wonder? Has fake news won? Are we, meaning the Guardian, now the fake news? Is the mainstream media, we, us, I, dying? A click Google's first suggested list. It leads to a website called CBSNews.com and an article, The Mainstream Media Are Dead. They're dead, I learned, because they, we, I cannot be trusted, unquote. How had it, an obscure site I'd never heard of, dominated Google's search algorithm on the topic? In the About Us tab, I learned CNS, one more time. I clicked Google's first suggested link. It leads to a website called CNSnews.com and an article, The Mainstream Media Are Dead, unquote. They're dead, I learned, because they, we, I cannot be trusted, unquote. How had it, an obscure site I'd never heard of, dominated Google's search algorithm on the topic? In the About Us tab, I learned CNS News is owned by the Media Research Center, which a click later I learned is America's media watchdog, an organization that claims, quote, an unwavering commitment to neutralizing left-wing bias in the news, media, and popular culture, unquote. Another couple of clicks, and I discovered that it receives a large bulk of its funding, more than $10 million in the last decade, from a single source, the hedge fund billionaire Robert Mercer. Now, in For the Record 946, we talked about the fact that Robert Mercer is the dominant force behind Cambridge Analytica, which, as we will review, along with its parent company, SCL, are deeply involved with processing vast amounts of data, including and especially that gleaned by Facebook. Robert Mercer and his wife, Rebecca Mercer, basically have none other than Stephen Bannon as their political guru. Bannon was formerly on the board of directors of the Cambridge Analytica. Talking about Mercer and his money, it's money he's made as a result of his career as a brilliant but reclusive computer scientist. He started his career at IBM, where he made what the Association for Computational Linguistics called revolutionary breakthroughs in language processing, a science that went on to be key in developing today's artificial intelligence. And later he became CEO, joint CEO of Renaissance Technologies, a hedge fund that makes its money by using algorithms to model and trade on the financial markets. And again, this guy's got more money than God, as they say. Skipping down. Speaking of Mercer, in this, he is helped by his close associates, Steve Bannon, Trump's campaign manager and now chief strategist. The money he gives to the Media Research Center, with its mission of correcting, quote, liberal bias, unquote, is just one of his media plays. There are other, bigger, and even more deliberate strategies, and shining brightly, the star at the center of the Mercer media galaxy is Breitbart. And again, in addition to Bannon, alumni include the aforementioned Sebastian Gorka and also Milo Yiannopoulos, the gay fascist and, excuse me, alt-right figure from Breitbart. Skipping down. It was $10 million of Mercer's money that enabled Bannon to fund Breitbart, a right-wing news site set up with the express intention of being a Huffington Post for the right. I would add, Huffington Post comes from Arianna Huffington, the former wife of Republican Congressman Robert Huffington, or Michael Huffington, excuse me. I would not necessarily call her, quote, progressive, unquote. That's another story. Skipping down. In 2014, Bannon launched Breitbart London, telling the New York Times it was specifically timed ahead of the UK's forthcoming election. It was, he said, the latest front in our current cultural and political war. France and Germany are next. I would add, when we see Lithuanian Nazi collaborators like Mr. Skirpas being portrayed as Pepe the Frog, we are looking at some of the derivatives of the work of elements such as those we are seeing here. Continuing. There was another reason why I recognized Robert Mercer's name, because of his connection to Cambridge Analytica, a small data analytics company. He is reported to have a $10 million stake in the company, which was spun out of a bigger British company called SCL Group. It specializes in, quote, election management strategies, unquote, and, quote, messaging and information operations, unquote, refined over 25 years in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan. In military circles, this is known as PSYOPs, psychological operations, mass propaganda that works by acting on people's emotions. In my discussion of Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden, that is a PSYOP from exactly these same Nazi and fascist, I mean alt-right, circles. Continuing. Cambridge Analytica worked for the Trump campaign, and so I read the Leave slash Brexit campaign as well. When Robert Mercer started supporting Trump, Cambridge Analytica came too. And where Mercer's money is, Steve Bannon is usually close by. It was reported that until recently, he had a seat on the board of directors of Cambridge Analytica. Last December, I wrote about Cambridge Analytica in a piece about how Google's search results on certain subjects were being dominated by right-wing and extremist sites. Jonathan Albright, a professor of communications at Elon, E-L-O-N, University, North Carolina, who had mapped the news ecosystem and found millions of links between right-wing sites, quote, strangling, unquote, the mainstream media, told me that trackers from sites like Breitbart could also be used by companies like Cambridge Analytica to follow people around the web and then, via Facebook, target them with ads. Again, what we're talking about is basically dominating Google and Facebook. By the way, in connection with Eddie the Friendly Spook, I've opined that the last thing people should be worried about is the NSA. I reiterate that. And the support that I have for the NSA was really a vain hope that somehow they could counteract things like this. They're completely overmatched. But again, you're worried about the NSA, you should goddamn effing well be worried about this. Continuing. Again, reiterating of the last sentence, Jonathan Albright, skipping down, told me that trackers from sites like Breitbart could also be used by companies like Cambridge Analytica to follow people around the web and then via Facebook target them with ads. On its website, Cambridge Analytica makes the astonishing boast that it has psychological profiles based on 5,000 separate pieces of data on 220 million American voters. Its USP is to use this data to understand people's deepest emotions and then target them accordingly. The system, according to Albright, amounted to a, quote, propaganda machine, unquote. Skipping down. Speaking of Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage is a good friend of the, he's the head of the Brexit movement, is a good, was the head of the Brexit movement. Because Nigel is a good friend of the Mercers, and also Stephen Bannon, and Robert Mercer introduced them to us, he said, here's this company we think may be useful to you. What they were trying to do in the U.S. and what we're trying to do had massive parallels. We shared a lot of information. Why wouldn't you? Behind Trump's campaign and Cambridge Analytica, he said, were the same people. It's the same family. Skipping down. In the last month or so, articles in first the Swiss and the U.S. press have asked exactly what Cambridge Analytica is doing with U.S. voters' data. In the statement to the Observer, the Information Commissioner's Office said, quote, any business collecting and using personal data in the U.K., must do so fairly and lawfully. We will be contacting Cambridge Analytica and asking questions to find out how the company is operating in the UK and whether the law is being followed. Skipping down again. These Facebook profiles, especially people's likes, could be correlated across millions of others to produce uncannily accurate results. Michael Kosinski, K-O-S-I-N-S-K-I, the center's lead scientist, found that with knowledge of 150 likes, their model could predict someone's personality better than their spouse. With 300, it understood you better than yourself. Computers see us in a more robust way than we see ourselves. Skipping down again. The danger of not having regulation around the sort of data you can get from Facebook and elsewhere is clear. With this, a computer can actually do psychology. It can predict and potentially control human behavior. It's what the Scientologists try to do, but much more powerful is how you brainwash someone. It's incredibly dangerous. And what it talks here is about using artificial intelligence. And but I'm obviously going to have to continue this in the next program because we are almost out of time. But this not only uses artificial intelligence to mine this incredible data, but it then uses that to shape search engines and send messages to individual internet users and Facebook users in particular. And it even is used to help in sort of a neuro-linguistic programming sense what Donald Trump is saying as he is giving a speech. Again, this is stunning. What we're really talking about is a Nazified artificial intelligence being used to dominate not only the media landscape, but the political landscape as well. More about this in our next show. We just don't have time. Please use the descriptions to the program. This concludes For the Record 948, Walk on the Snake with Breitbart, subtitled The Gathering Storm. This is being recorded on March 2nd of the year 2017. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.